Well, it always seems that it's a little bit challenging, at least for me, to come up with a message on a holy day, especially when having to give the offertory. It seems there's only a few ways that you can actually say, hey, give us your money. So, hey, give us your money. No, I'm joking. We all come to church and we realize that on a day such as today, a holy day, that we are commanded to give an offering. It's a command given by God, and it's written in the Bible. It's something that we are supposed to do. And it's something that we are supposed to teach our children to do. It's not a suggestion. It's something that we are, as I've just said before, commanded to do. You know, our offerings, as we know, are to God. My son today was asking me, so how does the offering actually get to God? Does it get shot up in a rocket and get past the sun and then gets to him? Well, I think we all know the answer to that question. Of course, it is the church who handles the offerings as God has put them in charge. This scripture was read yesterday. It was 2 Corinthians 9 and verses 6 and 7. And it says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly." Now, if you've ever planted a garden, you'll know that if it depends how much seed you put out, how much you get back in return. Sometimes the seed isn't good and it doesn't pop up. We've had that happen to us this year. My wife and I planted a garden. But it continues to say, "He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." And this led me to be curious as to the amount of thought that each of us has given in regards to our offering today. How much thought? Maybe even some prayer. Does it really matter that much? Well, continuing on, in verse 8 of 2 Corinthians 9, it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." Notice it's God who does these things. And it's to God who we give our offering. Verse 15 continues and says, "Thanks to be to God for his indescribable gift." You know, if we stop and we think about what has been done in our lives, even though we have sinned at times, even though we have gone our own way at times, God continues to be with us. When we come back and seek him, he continues to see us through, no matter what. So, what has been the greatest gift in your life? You know, we know that all things are God's. We know that he can make anything happen. We know that he is all powerful. In Hebrews 11 and verse 6, it says that without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, these are some powerful things that are being told us here. We are told to have faith in God. You know, if we don't have faith in God, we fail God. We are not pleasing to God when we start to look at our life without him in it. I think Mr. Eric Rank covered this very well this morning. You know, without God leading and directing in our lives, without us constantly asking for his guidance, for his help and wisdom and understanding, we fail. James 1, verse 4 to 7 says, "Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. If any one of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. And that person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord." We also have to believe that He is. We have to believe that God is that's a good English word, omnipotent. It sounded better in my head. But He cares for us each individually. He desires our undivided attention, and He's jealous for it. He expects us to have a rock-solid desire and confidence in Him, even in our darkest and most troubling trials. He's also a rewarder. You know, God's rewards are incalculable. We can ask for anything, as it says, and it says that He will provide. You know, when we are giving an offering, we are putting our confidence in Him, knowing that He rewards us for our generosity. And finally, it says, those who diligently seek Him. I think of this as a microtransaction. Maybe you've heard that word before. In the video gaming community and a lot of online games, they have what's called these microtransactions. And it's where you can pay small or large amounts of real money for digital currency. You know, items in the game or power-ups. But it's a way to stay involved in the game. It's a way to bring interest and to bring new things into the games. I kind of think of it like that in this way when reading the scripture. God wants us to stay diligently seeking Him. He promised us rewards if we do. But these rewards are up to us. You know, we can gain some now in this life, but we can also gain some in the future when we become God beings as He has promised us. But it takes constant seeking, constant forethought, constant focus on Him in all things. And I think the point to all this is that we get to choose. And that's one of the greatest gifts, but it also can be one of the greatest disasters. And we choose every day, and we show God by our actions and by our choices just what we think about Him. You know, it's been said that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. You know, God doesn't care if we have plans to seek Him. He doesn't care if we have plans to pray, or He doesn't care if we have plans to have a relationship with Him. What He cares about is the real actions that are taken. And so the same can be said about our offerings. Are our offerings a sweet thing to Him, or are they offensive to Him due to our actions in other areas of our lives? In 1 Samuel 15 and verse 22, it says, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams." I'll give you a couple more scriptures. I won't read them, but in Psalm, there's Psalm 40 and verse 6, Proverbs 15 and verse 8, Hosea 6 and verse 6, Amos 5:22, and Malachi 1:10. And each one of these scriptures goes into an attitude behind an offering and just how important it is and how God feels about it. God cares immensely about the intent and the emotions behind our offerings. So as we are celebrating this day of Pentecost, I think it behooves us to very carefully think about our ways. You know, this holy day is on the heels of us coming out of the days of unleavened bread, where we examined and sought where we were wrong and where we needed to change. So how much progress have we made in the last 50 days since that time? Brethren, we have the power of the Holy Spirit because God has given it to us so that we can continue to call upon him and to receive the blessings that he gives us. So let's make sure that we give our offering the right and proper attitude.